you're never alone. For the God of a mountain, he's still down in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. For the God of talk of faith, you're up on the mountain, the talk comes easy when my head is bent. That is down in the valley of trials and temptations. When your faith is really put to the test, for the God of a mountain is still down in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right.
And I preached to you last week, it's time to find your place in the body of Christ. And I know that sets some of you off on a journey to discover. And the Lord has laid another message on my heart today to, I believe, to dovetail in with that other message, or to tie up a few loose ends in that message, or to make more loose ends and get you more torque than what you were last week. However that it works for you. I just hope your heart's ready to receive it today. Last week I talked about it's time for you to find your place in the body of Christ. And today I want to bring a message entitled, what are you doing with what you have?
Amen.
What are you doing with what you have? Acts chapter number 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive from them. Expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him, as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. I want to preach for a few minutes today. What are you doing with what you have? I want to preach to everybody, including Mario and whoever else may be here today. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we are thankful for your amazing grace. We are thankful, oh God, for your selfless love that you showed us on Calvary. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters that are on this journey with us. We're not on this journey alone, but we're going it together. And we thank you and praise you, God, for the power of your presence that is here. And we pray, Lord, right now that as we deliver a word to the church, that the work of faith and the work of the word would spark inside of us as we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. What are you doing with what you have? The lame man was positioned for a miracle. Sad to say, but he was not allowed to go into the temple himself because of his infirmity. Nobody was allowed into the temple with infirmities. Only those who were whole and healthy traditionally were allowed in. Even because of your descent and your culture or your parentage, you might not be allowed in. Some for generations upon generations. But here he was getting as close as he knew how to get to position himself for a miracle. He may not even realize that he was about to have a miracle, but he was in the right place. Amen. It was the hour of prayer. He knew when people came in and he knew when they went out. And he was faithful and consistent in his begging daily at the gate that is called the beautiful gate. I imagine in my mind that he had to have seen Jesus walk through this gate. Now Jesus spent 3 years in Jerusalem going in and out of the temple. And he had to have walked by this man at some point in time, maybe more than once, but never received a miracle from Jesus. He was still there. Amen. He was positioned for a miracle, but he never got a miracle because that wasn't what he was looking for. Amen. The world is looking to the church. Amen. I said the world is looking to the church. They're here at the soup kitchen. It's like being at the doorstep. It's like being at the gate. They're afraid to come to a service. They're afraid to come through the doors, but they'll come to a food giveaway. They'll come to a soup kitchen meal. And when we're in that environment, we are on the cusp and right on the edge of something miraculous taking place. Yes, yes. But there's a couple of things that had to happen before this man could be healed. The first thing that had to happen was that he had to have his expectations upgraded. Amen. He'd been laying at the gate daily for many a year. The Bible said he'd been lame since he was born. Amen. And so when he saw Peter and John come in for prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw a handout about to walk through the door. There's a lot of people that are lost in this world, and they come to the doorstep of the church. They come to a food giveaway. They come to a soup kitchen, and they're looking for a handout. They see the church as a handout, and it's the job of the church to raise the expectation of those that are suffering, to get more than a box of groceries, to get more than a happy meal, but to get something that is far better. Peter said to the man that he had practiced his angle and he had perfected it. These people in the world, they got a story to tell you. These people in the world, they got an angle that they're willing to measure up for you, to get you to give them what they expect. Amen. Nothing more than a handout. But church, amen, Brother Philip has already said it. We got a whole lot more than a handout to give this world. But they'll never get it. Even Jesus can walk by them day in and day out, and they'll never get, amen, what God has for them until somebody upgrades their expectations. And so when he looked at Peter and John, expecting to get something, Peter said, look at us. Hallelujah. Look at us. Amen. And when he looked at him, the Bible says he fixed his attention on him, expecting to receive something. But Peter said, buddy, you've come looking for a handout. Amen. You're barking up the wrong tree. We live in a day and a time, amen, where it's easier to give people a handout than it is to minister to them with what we have. Amen. If people are going to receive a miracle, somebody's got to upgrade their expectation. And in order for somebody to upgrade the expectations of the lost people in this world, that somebody's got to understand and know what it is that they have. The church has become a handout. The church has become, amen, an almsgiving group. And there's nothing wrong with us doing those things. The Bible says they had all things in common in the church, and people came and sold land and possessions and laid the money before the feet of the disciples, and they distributed that. But you notice when Peter and John came, they didn't have any money in their pockets. No wonder Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. Before, amen, you can understand what you have and be able to raise the expectation of people in the world to receive a miracle from God, you got to know what you don't have. You got to know what you're not about. Growing churches, large churches, churches that are reaching people, churches that are converting the masses of people to faith in Jesus Christ. Their number one favorite leadership and ministry word is N-O. We don't do that, and we don't do that. You look at little churches that never grow, and they're trying to do everything, amen, but what God called them to do. They're trying to do everything, got their hand in every pie, but they ain't never doing anything with what they've got. We live in a generation of people, we're never satisfied with what we have. Amen. I've got a shelf full of books, amen, but I can't wait to buy the next set of books, but I ain't even read the ones I got yet. That's the way we are. We've got a house full of stuff. Amen. We got a life full of business and activities. But we're never satisfied with what we've got. Amen. There's a miracle that is waiting to happen. Amen. The people have got to see that miracle. And in order for them to see it, somebody that calls themselves a believer, somebody that calls themselves a Christian, has got to begin to understand what it is that they have living down inside of them. Amen. The apostle said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. You've got to know what you don't have, and you've got to know what you do have. Amen. The Bible said God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and he said, what have you got in your hand? He was full of excuses why God could not use him to miraculously deliver the people of Israel. And God said, what have you got in your hand? And all he had in his hand was a stick that he used to lean on when he walked. All he had was a stick that he used to poke the animals with that were in his flock. Amen. But the Bible said, God said, throw your stick down. And when he threw his stick down, the Bible said it turned into a serpent. And Moses did what we all do when the power of God is revealed in the simplicity of our clay pots. The Bible said he turned tail, kicked up his heels, and he ran the other way.
Come on.
There's too many people running from what they got. Amen. God said, now reach your hand down and pick it back up. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost moves on you and you are filled with the Spirit, amen, that's an indication to you. Amen. That is a sign from heaven. I've given you something, amen, that you can give to the world. said, I'm just a widow with two mites. I ain't got no husband. I don't have a life. I don't have a future. And I ain't even got no money but a couple of mites that are not even worth a penny to rub together. So ain't no sense in me going up to the house of God. There ain't no sense in me trying to worship God. I don't have anything to give. Friend, you better understand something. It may not look like much to the world. Jesus can take a lunchbox with five little rolls of bread and a couple of little fishes. Amen. He can feed thousands of men and women with it. If you can only realize what you have. I don't have very much. Well, what are you doing with what you have? Well, I only got one talent. Let me bury it in the ground so I don't lose it. That's the problem with the church today. They've got something, but they're not doing anything with it. But if you'll take what you have and put it in the hands of Jesus and let Him bless it and break it, and then God will turn your little bit into a supply that runs over and has leftovers and more and more than enough. You live in the imaginary generation. This is what I do. And we're all guilty of that. If I had $1 million, if I won the lottery, I'd pay, I'd build a new church, and I'd do this and I'd do that. God's not interested in what you would do if you won the lottery. God's not interested in what you would do if you had $1 million. What God is interested in is what are you doing with the 10 bucks that you got. What are you doing with what you have? Right. I've only got two mites. I don't have anything to give. The Bible says that little widow woman, she came into the temple and she came up to the offering box. And the Bible says without any fanfare, she took what she had and she put it in the treasury box. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, stopped in His tracks. And He said to the disciples, did you just see what I just saw? Somebody took what they had and they put it in my hand.
Yes.
And He said, this woman has given more than all of those that have contributed to the treasury all day long. And I, if I could make a little bit of an interpretation, I'll make the rational application. If she gave more than anybody else gave, that means she had more than anybody else had. Because God's not interested in the number, but He is interested in the generosity and the willingness of the hearts. The Apostle Paul was talking to the church in Corinth about their promise to give money, and he says this in 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the readiness is there, everybody say ready.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has and not according to what he does not have. Hallelujah. Readiness means this. It means before passion. It means you don't have to wait for somebody to light a fire under your seat to get you moving. It means that you're waiting, that you're ready, willing, and able. You know what you got, and you're ready to do something with it the moment that the opportunity comes.
Amen.
For years and years, I've carried on ministry that is never ready and never eager for God to move. Oh, it's more comfortable for me to talk about that revival is going to come than it is for me to admit and realize that revival is happening right now. It's always nice and easier for me to say, well, you're going to get the Holy Ghost, than to say you're going to get the Holy Ghost right now. It's always easier to say it's going to happen if we want it to happen. It might happen. We hope it happens. Than to say it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
I remember when I first took over the church in Fairfield, and I've told this story before when I was here at the church in prayer. This has been a long time ago, over a decade ago, and I remember praying at the church, and I got done and I went back to the house, and something pursued me, something was pressing me, and I felt like I needed to go back down to the church and pray again. So I came back down to the church and I walked through the door and I started praying again. And as I was praying, a man walked through the back door and he said, "Is Virgil Tatum here?" And I said, "No, I'm afraid to say that he has retired and he's actually passed on to his reward." And he said, "Well, he gave me this book years ago by David K. Bernard called The Oneness of God. And I wanted to talk to him." That man was ready. And I said, "Well, you know," and I hang on around and I chit-chatted with him and blah, 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 blah. And that man walked right back out that door the same way that he came in. But if I had been ready, if I had realized what I had, I would have grabbed that man by the arm and said, "Let me tell you something. I sit in the recliner in the rag room with Virgil Tatum. I sit under his preaching and I preach for him. And he would want me to tell you this right now. Silver and gold have I none. Hallelujah, but such as I have given I thee." Let's go down to the altar and let's pray and let's ask God to give us an answer right now. To be ready for action. We got to be instant, in season and out of season. The word readiness means eagerness. It means an inclination to do things. It means a willingness. It means with alacrity. It means with enthusiasm. It means promptness and ardor and zeal, with avid and another good. I like this one, just with gusto. Hallelujah! Sometimes we worship God. Sometimes we pray with the most pitiful sounding prayers that you ever heard. You wonder, hallelujah, if it's like a deflated helium balloon. Amen. It just can hang. The string is just the only thing keeping it from falling the rest of the way down on the ground. Our worship sometimes is like a pitiful, wrinkled up old helium balloon. It's just got enough air to keep it from touching the ground, but it don't have enough air to float up and try to pull anything up with it. Church, amen. We've got to understand what it is that we've got. Amen. We've got to be ready. Like Peter and John were. They said, "Look at us, boy. And we ain't got no silver and we don't have any gold. But we got something that we're going to give you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter's so impatient and impetuous. There is a time and a place for the church to be impatient and impetuous. God can use that for His glory. I'm not going to wait for this man to get. I'm not going to wait for this man to receive. He grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him up off the ground. It's the same Peter that pulled 153 large fish in a net by himself. This lame man, no, he got a hold of and he yanked him up off of his cot. And the Bible says immediately he received strength in his legs and in his feet. I want to ask the church a question today. What are you doing? I know this message in the last couple I preached in is pretty, amen, as they used to be. But I'm here to tell you, church, amen, sometimes we go through seasons and sometimes we go through ups and downs and ins and outs or whatever you want to call them. And we just roll with it. But amen, whether I spend 30 hours fine-tuning every phrase, amen, or whether I spend a couple hours writing down what flows from the Spirit in the moment, I'm here to tell you that it is always the Word of God. Sometimes it may be pretty, sometimes it may be ugly, but God is asking this question to the church: what are you doing with what you have?
Yes. Right. Come on.
If you're not doing anything with what you have, what makes you think that God is going to use you to do anything else?
Amen.
We need to get our materialistic mindset. We need to get our latest thing mindset. Amen. And put it under the blood of Jesus and down in the altar. And we need to get back to brass tacks and basic things with God. We need to get back into prayer and get back into worship. Amen. Until, amen, the wind and the air of the Holy Spirit fills our souls to where we're no longer flagging and no longer sagging and no longer doubting until we're floating with the energy and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the only thing holding us to the ground is just the tether of this flesh. But we are walking in the Spirit and no longer fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And we are ready for whatever God may bring our way.
Glory.
God will take what you have and He will use it for His glory. God will take what you have and He will make it something great. Moses let 600,000 men plus women, children, and livestock out of imprisonment to the mighty powerful nation of Egypt with an old walking stick. Hallelujah. What can God do with what you have if you let Him, if you throw it down and pick it back up and use it for the glory of God? Use it for the glory of God. I want you to stand together with me right now. And I know that the man was looking for a handout. And when we read the story in the book of Acts, what do we see? We see a miracle. But that wasn't what Peter had. He didn't have coins to throw in the kid. The miracle was nothing to Peter whatsoever. Peter didn't have arms. Peter didn't have a miracle. He showed up with what he had. What did he have? He had a name and he had a message. And the Bible says he stood up, brought that guy, because that guy was not allowed to go in the temple. So here he comes in the temple with him. And woo! Check that out. Woo, look at me, everybody. I can walk. The Bible says he was walking and leaping and jumping. Woo, praise God. I can walk, I can run, I can jump. I've never done this my whole entire life. Woo, look at me, everybody. He was jumping around. I was like, what in the world is going on? This guy is nuts. Isn't this the guy that's been lame for his whole entire life? And the Bible says they were astounded. And Peter started preaching to the crowd that gathered around. And he said, God sent His Son, the Messiah, your Messiah, to you. And you rejected Him. And you crucified Him. And you abused Him. And you are under judgment of hellfire and damnation. And you need to repent of your sins. And you need to put your faith in Jesus. Because it was Jesus just healed this man. He ain't in that tomb no more. And they all knew the story. But He is resurrected. And He's still actively healing people now.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Peter understood. Well, I don't have the gift of healing. I can hear that in my head over and over. I don't have the gift of healing. You know what I'm saying? In one place in the Bible, it says gifts of healing. And then everybody's like, I don't have it. Do you have the name?
Right. Amen.
Do you have the message?
Amen.
Are you filled with the Spirit?
Amen.
It said, by the Spirit, a gift of healing. It doesn't say you can't heal because you don't have the gift. We add that part in there. It don't say you can't do this and you can't do that. There are other places in the Scripture where it says different things that fully give us the picture of what God intended. What are you doing with what you have? And the Bible says Peter preached Jesus Christ, Him crucified. and there is no salvation in any other name.
Amen. Amen.
You know what happened? Peter used what he had, and the Bible says that day 5,000 men were added to the church. Not St. Peter's Cathedral, hallelujah, but to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They became believers in Jesus, 5,000 men. Where had these guys been when Jesus was doing all his other miracles? There's still a work, church, for us to do. Not everybody's heard, not everybody's seen. What do you have today? What are you doing with what you have? Praise God. And I didn't know what was going to happen yesterday when I got this message. I didn't know just exactly. As a matter of fact, I didn't even have this title on this message, but I put it into my phone earlier in the week. Five days ago, Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it's time to rise up. Sometimes I don't think we realize what we have. Don't believe me? You're friends with me on the Bible app? Look it up for yourself. Look at my bookmarks. There it is. Sometimes we don't realize what we have. I got one like. Sister Karis Howell. I got to watch. She's looking over my shoulder. What are you doing with what you have? God is not interested in what you don't have. He'll take whatever you've got. Elijah had a coat. He took it off. The Bible says he came up to the Jordan River. The prophet Elijah had a coat. He took it off. And he hit the waters. And the Bible says it cleared out. He walked across with his protege, Elijah. All he had was a coat. And then when Elijah was taken up into the fiery chariots and horses, the Bible says that when he was taken away, Elijah said, My God, where are you going, buddy? Don't leave me down here. And the Bible says, a coat came falling down from the sky.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Picked up that old stinky animal skin coat of the prophet Elijah. And he came up to the Jordan River, and what did he do? What have you got?
Right.
Hit that water and it parted and he walked back across by himself. And the prophets, the sons of the prophets in the school of the prophets were watching. They said, the spirit of Elijah is on the prophet Elijah. I'm telling you what, church. Amen. It's just simple things that God wants to do, but he wants to put a spirit on you that you can go out and affect dramatic miracles and change things in the world.
Amen.
We all have our calling. We all have different things that we're carrying. What are you doing? That you have. In the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to you. What are we doing, God?